Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this classic program from Pastor Harold E. Salem. The mission of the Christian Worship Hour is to share the good news of the gospel with a lost world and to encourage and equip Christians to pray for our families and our nations. Please join with us and the members of our church family as we study the incomparable Word of God. And stay tuned to this classic program to learn more about how you can be a part of God's amazing plan to reach the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a sermon today. I just know you're going to like it. It's entitled, When Jesus Comes. And it's Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And don't you love that story? I just love to preach it. And so that's what we're going to look at. But first of all, we want to look at the psalmist in Psalm 96, where he writes, Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear him, all the earth. Heavenly Father, we fear you with a holy fear. We know that you love us and we have come into your presence, and yet we have that fear of disobeying you, of being disobedient and displeasing you. And so we just thank you that we can always count on your love and your care. Bless us in this service, Lord. There are many people that need to know you, should be opening their hearts to you, and help them to do that today. Those may be going through hard times, troubles and trials, and they have to just have a little assurance of the presence of the Savior. This is your service, Lord. Just use it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Jan's going to start us now with a song, His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart
I
Thank you, Jan. That's what he tells us. He says a little sparrow doesn't fall to the ground, but God sees it. God knows it. He says that our hairs of our head are numbered. And that is not counted. He says he's got maybe 1,000 pieces of hair, a lot of strings of hair. But he says it's counted. And when you lose one hair, you're losing a number. And that's hard to believe, but I'll tell you something else that's harder yet to believe. And that is that of all the stars and galaxies, we don't know how many stars in a galaxy, except there could be millions, and we don't know how many galaxies there are, and yet God has named every star. Well, that's our God, our wonderful God, and that's the one we preach about. And I just never get tired of talking about that wonderful God. And there's always hope. Always hope. Well, we have some letters. I'd like to share them, and I hope that you enjoy them. I know we enjoy getting these letters, and so we just want to share some of them. The first one is from Rapid City, South Dakota. And this person writes, I look forward to your program every Sunday. I like the personal relationship you have with your members, calling them by name to sing. It seems like my little church back home where we knew everyone. Keep up the good work and may God bless you as you continue God's work. And that's exactly right. In your Rapid City, then you go on west a ways and you come to Belle Fouche. And I was raised in the First Baptist Church in Belle Fouche. And that's where we knew everybody's name and we knew everybody's dog and we knew everybody's business. It's just a wonderful place. And that's the way the little church is. And God just bless them. I love that. A little church where you get know each other by name. Call them by name. And then somebody says, well, we know each other in heaven. Well, I've just written a little booklet. It's 11 pages. And we send it out on a free will offering basis. And it is, will we know our loved ones in heaven? And the answer is yes. Yes. And it's all scripture. Everything out of the Bible. So I'll give you the address in just a little bit, and you can write to us if you like. Here's one, Omaha, Nebraska, and they write, I love your Christian worship hour. I watch you every Sunday. When you tell us how to accept Christ, will you not do so fast? And so I'm going to take that into my mind when I give the invitation, and I tell you how to accept Jesus. I'm not going to rush it. I'm excited about it, and I guess I whiz by. And we don't want you to miss it, because the most important thing you can do in all your life, more important than your profession, more important than who you marry, more important than where you live, is what do you do with Jesus? Do you have Jesus? Everything, that's the big thing. And so they said that would like us to do that. And then she said, then another letter talks, and they said, in Huntsville, Texas. And this person writes, and he's in prison, as in a top security prison. He says, sometimes when the weather's right, I can hear you on the radio. Must be 1,000 miles from here to Aberdeen. I had Kent look it up, and there's 1,100 miles, 1,132 miles. So he had that pegged about right. He says, I'm 70 years old. Don't see so good anymore. Ain't going nowhere. I'll die here in this prison and be buried in the prison graveyard someday. Got no folks to come and get me and bury me. I don't matter. It don't matter, I guess. But the prison graveyard seems so lonely. Anyway, guess I got distracted, but if you have a large extra Bible, I would be so grateful. Doesn't have to be new. And then he says, an old one would be just right. Look forward to hearing from you on the radio if the weather's right. God bless you all. And so we've written to this man now, and it's a kind of a sad thing. He's committed some crime, and he's going to die in prison. He says, I'll die in prison and be buried in the prison graveyard. Got no folks to come and get and bury me. It don't matter, I guess. But I'm going to tell you this, dear brother, that God knows you're there, and Jesus is there, and he'll help you, and he'll be with you. And he said he'd never leave you or forsake you. And we love you, and we'll pray for you. And someday we'll see you in heaven. It's because he says he's opened your heart to Jesus. I just always love to write to these folks. We hear from quite a number of prisoners in one prison, one federal prison. We heard from 14 different prisoners. We try to answer every letter, and we send them a little Bible study. And when you pray for us, pray for the Christian Worship Hour, and when you support us, that's part of our work. Here's Murfreesboro, Tennessee. There are too many social club churches today and Christians who want their ears tickled. My prayer is for revival to come to our Lord's body, recognizing that it begins with each me. And so this is a brother, and he's got his hand right on the throttle. Now, I don't know. I don't get around to any churches. As a matter of fact, I'm 98 years old, and I don't even go out of the city limits. So I don't know what's going on in this world. But I get your letters, and you're writing and complaining that our preachers, they don't preach that Bible, and they just talk about everything and being good and make you feel good and everything, and they don't preach the Bible. And that's what this gentleman, Murfreesboro, is talking about. Well, you know, Paul told us in the Holy Bible, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And so here he said, God is telling us through Saint Paul that these people, there's going to be a day when they don't want sound doctrine. What's this sound doctrine? Well, one thing, you preach about hell. They don't like sermons on hell. And then you teach about abstinence. Not temperance, where you're just careful and don't do too much. Abstinence, total abstinence when it comes to drinking or some of these, or gambling or God knows what. And they don't want sermons like that. And I'm going to tell you something else is having teachers with having itching ears. Every preacher knows what you're going to like and what you don't like. And I'll tell you, there's a bell ringer every time I preach about money. And they run for their purse. The first thing they do, they get their purse and they put it under the bed. He's preaching about money. Hide it, something. And all the money in the world belongs to God, so they don't like sound preaching. But what you need to do is just preach the Bible. Preach the Bible. Go right down the line. Because then you can preach with authority. I tell these young pastors, preach the Bible. Then you can preach with authority. You can say, thus saith the Lord. This is the way it is, Buster, and there's no other way. And you don't like it? Tough. You're not upset with me. It's God. I'm just telling you what God says. So this is a good letter. Here's one more I want to share. Hyde Park, New York. And the person writes, I look forward to hearing you preach about Jesus twice on Saturdays. I remember your birthday because it would have been my 54th wedding anniversary, June 26, 2019. My husband passed away in 2015. God bless you every day this year. All my love in Christ Jesus. And so we hear from a lot of people, and there's the couples used to worship the Lord together as we had our service. And then God takes one of them home. And so then they stay alone, and they worship alone, one in heaven and one on earth. And they're still a family of God. You know, that's the family of God. Part of the family of God is in heaven. Part of the family of God is on earth. And so we're going to see them. We're going to be together. And we're not a million miles apart. You know, heaven is just a breath away. One breath. This breath, now I'm on earth. Next breath, I'm in glory. And so that's how close we are. So just love the Lord. Serve the Lord the best you can. And God will bless you. And God will, you know, there'll be better times. Because when we get to heaven, well, won't that be a glorious time? So if you'd like to write to us, if you have a question, if you'd like to have a letter. Now, I had one man wrote a letter. I think it was 11 pages long. He'd like me to read that letter. Well, Lord have mercy, I gave it to my secretary. I said, would you read this, please? And I think she's still reading it. I don't know. But we'll use some of these as the Lord leads and the Lord directs us. And so you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy. It's box 2002, 2002 in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And now before the sermon, Jan is going to play. God bless you, Jan. Thank you, Jan. Always a blessing to hear you play and worship the Lord with her piano playing. Well, we're reading from John chapter 11 today. John chapter 11, beginning with the 38th verse. And it's an exciting story of Mary and Joseph and Lazarus, the resurrection of Lazarus. And so we're looking at that, and then we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Iran. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that thou wouldst believe? If thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God." Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he turned and cried and with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with linen. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. So let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful, beautiful story of Lazarus dead and is raised from the grave by the power of God. And because he was brought back to life, Lord, many believed on Jesus. And that was the thing of it all, to believe on Jesus and to do that to the glory of God. And that's what we pray you'll do in our service today as we preach about this incident, Lord, that you'll speak to multitudes of people all over the world and help them to know that you love them. And they're just like Lazarus. They're dead in their sins. And you're calling them, and if they come to you and just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and just take them away, and I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus." If they'll make that prayer, they could be just alive, just like Lazarus, dead 4 days, and now he's alive. And these dear people will call on your name spiritually, will be alive forever, and they will never die. And so may many do that today. Now, Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Iran. We know that there's some of them dying for you, and we know the little children are suffering, and their homes are taken. Oh, dear Lord, we just wish you could come and put an end to it, but maybe you're going to wait. Say maybe somebody else will come, more will come. That's our prayer. So just encourage them and help them to know, Lord, as they worship with us. Many of them worship with us on shortwave radio, that we're thinking about them and praying for them, and we're going to see them in heaven, and oh, won't that be a glorious day? So this is your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And before the sermon, Hank's going to sing "Rock of Ages," and God bless you, Hank.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure, save from wrath. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou. While I drove judgment throne, rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself in thee.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you. And that rock of ages is there, and it'll never be brown. It'll stand forever. And when your faith is in Jesus, you know, that rock of ages is like our faith is solid. And the water may come and go and ebb and flow. That's feelings. And the feelings may come. One day you may be happy. Next day you may be down. You don't know which way to turn. And it comes and goes, those feelings. But that old rock stays the same. Jesus is the same, no matter how you feel. Oh, I am so thrilled about that. And that's going to stand for all eternity, never going to end. Well, we're going to look at a little family called Lazarus and his brothers and his sister. It's in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, and it shows three stages in this passage. It shows the wisdom of Jesus, and it shows the power of Jesus, and it shows the love of Jesus. And it's the thrilling story of raising of Lazarus from the dead. It is all the more amazing because Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, and the body has begun to decompose. The story opens with a glimpse of the little family, two sisters and a brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Nothing is said of the father or mother. Perhaps they were dead. But we do not know how often Jesus visited the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, but we know that it was often. It was a little haven, because here he was understood. Here he was loved. Here his wounded spirit could rest, and here was a little like a little oasis in the whole world of human existence and the desert of human existence. And there he found help, and he found sorrow, great joy, but also sorrow. But that's yet to come. And so now there's sorrow in the home because Lazarus is sick. He's so sick he's about to die, and Jesus isn't there. Jesus is off in Judea, in another place preaching. And so John writes, now there was a certain man who was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and Martha. And then John identifies the Mary. He says it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. This is the Mary who placed the ointment on our Lord. And Lazarus is sick, and Jesus is gone. That's the situation. And so the two sisters send him Jesus a message, with a servant, with a friend, that is, and or a servant. And then in the third verse, it says, therefore his sisters send unto him Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They know Jesus, and they know he has a tender heart. They know that he loves Lazarus, and they know that he loves them, and that Lazarus loves him, and he knows that he's touched by the infirmities that come upon us, and so he knows that if they can just get word to Lazarus, everything is going to be just fine. And so all they have to do is get the word to Jesus, and they had complete faith in Jesus. Jesus loved them. And Jesus had power to help them. And they knew that he loved them and cared for them. And so they're teaching us we must always trust Jesus and not worry. Jesus loves us. Jesus loves you. Maybe you're in a tight spot in life and you're getting panicky. And you just go to Jesus and trust Jesus. And he loves you and he'll help you if you lean upon him. He'll give you strength and he'll give you help. He's able to do all things, so lean upon Jesus. Put all your weight on Jesus. Don't, you know, count on friends and the bank account and your health and all the rest of it. It's just Jesus, Jesus alone. So the messenger is sent, and we are told when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Our Lord's words are amazing, because Lazarus was dead when the messenger got there. By the time he got there, when you figure out the days, Lazarus has already died. And yet Jesus said Lazarus would not die. And what Jesus meant was that death was not final. That's not going to be the end of the story. He knew Lazarus was dead. He knew also that Lazarus was going to be alive before he was done with this, and he was going to live again. And so death is not the last word here, and death is not the last word now either. And when we have a funeral and we take a loved one to the cemetery, that is not the last word for the believer. And it isn't for the unbeliever either, because the unbeliever are going to go into a terrible, terrible place. But to the Christian, it's not the end. When I took my wife out to the cemetery, I knew that wasn't the end of the story. I'm going to see her again. And Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And it is demonstrated in verse 6 of this story. And it says, when he had heard thereof that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place. He didn't drop anything and come running. Lazarus is dead. Jesus is waiting 2 more days. When Jesus heard Lazarus was sick unto death, remember, Jesus in his wisdom knew that by that time Lazarus was dead. Yet Jesus stayed 2 more days. And then he just visited and did what he was doing, whatever he went there for. The key word here is therefore he waited. Why did he wait? Why didn't he go? He's dead. Why did he go and raise him? He did that because he wanted them people to know that Lazarus was really dead. 4 days. What does Martha say? He stinketh. You know, I get people that die and they come back to life. There's TVs on this and I don't know. And they're always got a book to sell. And maybe they've been dead for a minute and they came back to life, or maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And then you can just raise them from the dead. And so you go and talk to them. And how long are you dead? Oh, a minute, 5 minutes, whatever. Well, did you stink or you decomposed? That's what Jesus is doing. He's waiting, so there can be no question. He's going to bring back a body that has been deposed. And I'm going to tell you, if you decompressed, and if you want to sell me some of your books, you get somebody who has been dead for 4 days and, I was going to say, and stinketh. Well, we'll say, you know, he's just been dead for 4 days and the body's decomposing, because I know some people run around, they stink anyway, and they got more life than they need. So we'll leave the stinketh out. And so but Jesus is waiting. He wants everybody to know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, this man is dead to the point where his body is decomposing. That's exactly why he waited. And so Jesus comes, and he waits 2 days, and then he comes to Mary and Martha. And remember how, he's going to teach them a lesson. He's going to teach them that no matter how far that body is going and being decomposed, he's going to raise him from the dead. It's not going to be just some little rinky-dink thing with mirrors and stuff. You see, you remember with Job? Probably Job suffered more than any man on earth except Jesus. And God was working to make Job better, wasn't he? And Job recognized that, and he cries out and he says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Jesus is doing that all the time with Mary and Martha and Job and with you and with me. He watches over all of his children, and he's always trying to make us better. He's trying to make us more sensitive. He's trying to make us more humble. He's trying to make us more committed. He's trying to make us more loving. He's trying to make us more like himself. That's what he's doing. We ought to give thanks for the troubles and trials along the way, because it is God, the Heavenly Father, who is working in our lives to bring us out the good. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, God says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Friend of mine, the troubles and the trials of life are for a definite purpose. And maybe today you're going through some hard times, some terribly hard times, and your heart is aching, and you don't know which way to turn. Turn to Jesus. He's allowing these things to happen and to work with those things because he's working with us to make us more like him. And that's really what we want, to be like Jesus, isn't it? Then after a two-day visit, then after he saith to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." That's where they lived, in Judea, and they're going back. And Judea, there was a bad place to go because the center of all of hostility was in Judea. All the the terrible anger was against him in Judea. There they hated him. There they tempted to stone him. And the disciples said, so then when Jesus says, "Let's go back to Judea," his disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there thither again?" The disciples love Jesus. They love their master, and they have forsaken all for him. They've given all for him. So the question is, he does want to not only just to make them love him more and trust him more and see his power and see his wisdom. But when Jesus answers them, he says, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." Verses 9 and 10. So you see how majestic Jesus is, and he's calm about it. He's walking in daylight. He's not afraid of his enemies. He's not afraid of what might happen. He's telling his disciples, "Nothing's going to happen. I am with you in the light, so to speak. It's not dark with me. It's all in the open. I can see plainly. The hour has not arrived for me to go to the cross. It hasn't come yet, and I'm not worrying about a thing. We're going back to Judea." Those of you who know the Lord are never in the dark. We always have the light of Jesus to give us guidance and the light of the Word to give us guidance. We trust him, and we are firm and confident in our walk through this wilderness. We don't cower in a corner and half worry about something might happen to us. We have the Lord Jesus Christ with us, and he will walk with us and help us. We walk in the light. We don't stumble in the dark. And then Jesus tells his disciples, "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." And so he's coming now, and he's going to wake him out of his sleep. And Jesus simply meant that Lazarus was dead, and he's going to raise him from the dead. But they thought maybe Jesus meant he'd just sleep for the night, and he'd get up in the morning. But Jesus knows that he's dead, but he's going to live again. And so what Paul tells us simply, that when we die, with a spirit and soul leaves that body. And it isn't a sleep, isn't a soul sleep. Your soul isn't in the grave. The spirit and soul go to be with the Lord. We have people teach soul sleep. And they say, well, you see, he's talking about Lazarus sleeping. But he's just simply using that as a figure of speech. Because when Lazarus dies, his spirit and soul goes to be with the Lord, which is much better. And so the spirit and soul leaves the body. But the disciples misunderstood him. They just didn't get the message of what he was telling him. And they think that Lazarus has gone to sleep, and in the morning, well, everything will be well. They missed Jesus' message. So the disciples were that way. They were trying to tell him something. He was trying to tell them something. They just didn't catch on. They're too so much in the flesh. And you remember when Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he says, that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit is spirit. And you have to separate the two. And it's awful hard when you're first learning to do that. They say, "Lord, if he's asleep, he shall do well." That is, if he's asleep for the night and he's up in the morning, that's just fine. In other words, they thought he was going to get up in the morning. But John tells us, "Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. So Jesus clarifies the matter, and Jesus saith unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And he says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not here, that this to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And so Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. He's put him as just as the body is asleep, but Lazarus is dead. And I'm afraid that we are not like that when we die, when we have people we take to the death. Yeah, that's not the end. It's just for a time, and Jesus is going to raise up that body. Though how not, we just wonder what's going to happen. Well, when we go to the grave, we know that's not the end. We know that's just a part of God's program. And he may put him in a posture like a sleep and put him the body to sleep. But the spirit and soul is with the Lord. And we never see our loved ones for the last time. If we're in Christ, we'll see them again and we'll be with them again. Jesus wants their faith to grow. He wants them to get stronger. As a matter of fact, we're told that in the 15th verse, he said he's doing this to the intent that ye may believe. I want to build your strength. I want to build your faith. I want you to see with me there is no end. There's no problem too big. And learn that from God. God doesn't take pleasure in seeing us cry. He's a loving heavenly Father. And so is what we must cry at times, because it makes us stronger. God is making us stronger. He's teaching us something. He's helping us with something. And so we give ourselves to God. Give ourselves to Jesus. Lean everything on him. Let's look at that glorious statement for a moment. He says, liveth whosoever liveth and believeth in me. We must come to Jesus by faith. We must believe and trust and have all confidence in him. And when we come to him and receive him by that simple faith, then we have that joy and that peace. And I wonder today, do you believe, dear friends? Have you received Jesus? Have you taken him into your life? Because none of this is going to make sense until you personally have Christ there and the Holy Spirit takes our blinders off of our eyes and we see things spiritual. And when we have Jesus in our life, that Bible is a new book because it gives us spiritual eyes to read it, to study it, and to know it. Do you believe? That's the work of the Christian worship hour all the time. It's to comfort people and to help people, but to help people most of all to be born again. Because none of the rest of it counts unless you enter into the kingdom, unless you become a child of God. The promise is over for those who receive Jesus as Savior. Now, if that Jesus says, we shall never die. We never die. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Jesus didn't say we'd live again. He said we'd never die. And that's exactly what happened. When I accepted Jesus as my Savior, 10 years old, I got eternal life, and I've had that eternal life all these years. And when I come to my death, I'll have that same eternal life. I'm not going to live again. I'm going to keep on living. I'm going to live on this earthly level with eternal life. And when I die, my life is going to ascend into heaven. It's eternal. It's never going to end. And then people talk about how they're going to lose eternal life. If they aren't ridiculous, I don't know what it sure could be. So Jesus gives us eternal life, and we can trust in him and rest in him and believe in him. And this wonderful Savior carries us. So Martha then, Jesus comes back, and he comes back to Judea. And there he is a place of hostility. But there's also a place where somebody loves him. And Martha meets him. And Martha, she comes to him, she says to him, Mary stays in the house, and Martha comes and she says, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, Martha says here exactly the same thing that Mary's going to say when she comes, or when Jesus goes to Mary. She says the same thing, if you had come, my brother had not died. But I think they said it in different ways. And I think that's why Jesus put that in here. Martha put it kind of saying, Jesus, if you would have come, he wouldn't have died. Something like that. But when he talks to Mary, she says, if you would have come, he wouldn't have died. Just stating a fact. Now, maybe I'm reading something in there, I don't know. But the exact words are given by the two women. So they must have it in there for a reason. And so Martha says, if you would have come, he wouldn't have died. But then she goes on. But she says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. God will give it to thee. Martha had a strong faith. And she says she believes God will, believes Jesus can do anything. And she believes that God is going to raise up Lazarus at the last day when he comes again. But that's not to be the thing. Sometimes we're like that. We say we believe, but when we believe, then when things come down, we limit it. See, Martha believed, but she didn't think he could do anything right then. She says, when the last days at the last resurrection, I believe that'll happen. And so we have to always be careful, but believe what God says. Never doubt God. Our old professor in seminary says, when God puts a question, period, don't you put a question mark. Never doubt God. I have these people that say, well, I've asked God. I'm questioning God on why certain things happen. I can't imagine how to be that rude, to be that bold. We can ask God when something happens, dear Lord, now what do you want to teach me? What do you want me to do in this? But don't say why, and I want to know the reason that you're doing these things, the audacity of it. And so when Jesus says to Martha, thy brother shall live again. Now listen to Martha. I know he shall live again in the resurrection of the last day. And Martha knows and does not expect that that rotting body in that grave there, that body that you can smell and that's been decomposing for 4 days, she's not expecting that body to come. It's at the last day. And Jesus declares that beautiful scripture that we use over and over and over, and we never get tired, and it thrills your soul. Jesus declares, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? We say so-and-so is dead, and that is paganism to say that. If it's a Christian, they are not dead. They are still living, only in the presence and the glory of God. When the Lord Jesus then, he tells us that he's going to be a miracle. And Lazarus, he's going to talk to Lazarus. And Lazarus is going to obey him. And then comes the shortest, just before he does that, then we have the shortest verse in the Bible. And there it is, Jesus wept, verse 35. And why did he weep? He sees he's weeping because he can see the result of sin, the result of death, the result of sorrow. He sees the misery. He sees the people suffering and crying their eyes out. And he wept with them. He hated it all. It troubled him. He wept with sympathy. He didn't weep because Lazarus was dead. He knows that Lazarus is going to come to life. But the living Jesus. And when we have our troubles and when we have our trials, we come to Jesus. And we'll always find a loving, kind Heavenly Father who loves us and helps us. This shows the great compassion of the Lord God. In Psalm 103, the psalmist says in verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Jesus knew that in a few moments he was going to raise Lazarus, restore him to death, restore him to life. But while that is in mind, his heart is breaking because the sorrow of his people. And when you hurt, Jesus hurts. And when you cry, Jesus cries with you. He is touched by our infirmities, and he cares for us. He feels for us. And the next time your heart aches, just remember God's heart aches with you. And then came to the grave. It was a cave. And a stone lay upon it. And listen to Martha. She had just said she believed that Jesus would do anything. And she said that she believed God could do anything. Jesus could do anything. And then she says in verse 39, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Martha is saying, don't take away the stone. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Decomposition of the body has begun. There is no hope. There is no hope. They don't come back from the dead after the body is starting to decay and showing decay. Do we ever hear that? We say we believe that God can do anything, but we start to make little excuses and this and that. Don't limit God. Never put where God says something, never doubt God. Never underestimate the power of God. I'm not saying that God is going to rescue you from whatever plagues you have. And I'm not saying he's going to take away all your aches and your pains. And I'm not going to say he's going to pay all of your bills. But what I'm going to tell you is this. He's going to help you through it and carry you through it. It may be that we need to suffer for him and do have these sorrows of life. That wonderful Lord Jesus. And then look what happened. We read, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. What Jesus was speaking out loud. And why was he speaking out loud? Because in the 42nd verse, he tells us why he's talking out loud. Not to Lazarus in the grave. He's talking to the people all around. And I knew that thou hearest me always, Jesus said. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. And that they may believe that thou hast sent me. I am doing this and I am saying this because I want them to see that God has all power and all might. And I want them to believe on me. I want them to receive me and become my children. And then when verse 43, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And I read one place where he said, why did he say just come forth? He said, why did he say Lazarus, come forth? Well, if he would have said just come forth, all the cemetery of Bethany would have got up out of the graves. So Lazarus, I just want Lazarus today, come forth. And he came forth. For all the world to see. And what was the response? Verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. The power of God is demonstrated. God has that same power today. He's got that same power this very minute. And when we rely upon that power, we don't need to worry about that deathbed. And when we rely upon that power, we know that death is not the end. And we're not going to become alive again. We're going to continue forever. That eternal life will never end. But I want to ask this, do you have the eternal life? Have you accepted Jesus? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, eternal life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. That's what God says. And you have to make that prayer. And Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And you know, I just felt I want to say something. I've never done it in 75 years of preaching. If a husband and a wife there, you could take hands and you could pray together. Or if you've got a friend, or if you come little children, you maybe go to your mother, and you could pray together and say, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you for Jesus. And if you make that prayer, Jesus said, I'll come in. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will come in. Now fellowship with him. You make that prayer. And then if you want to, you write to us and we'll send you some literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. All of you got it on the screen, but our shortwave people don't get it. And I know you shortwave people can't write. You could be miles from a post office. But you can just, you know, you can pray for us. And your prayers all over the world, just pray for us. And then we need to have you to help us. We need to pay our wages like anybody else. And you can write and you can send us a gift. You can send it over the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And we have to have your help because now we're in 40 years and we're not underwritten by any organization or any corporation or denomination. We're all totally dependent upon God's people as God talks to God's people. So you just say, Lord, is this something I ought to support with your money? Or, and he'll tell you yes or no. And then you just say, how much? And just do what he says. And if you worry about how the money is spent, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's an international organization, and they audit our books every year. And they can come the middle of the year if they want to. They can come anytime they want. And if you'd like to have our little book, then we have a little Bible study, and it's entitled The New Song, The New Song. And this month we're going to have a little study on a friend, a never-failing friend. And it's a little Bible study on Jesus. And if you'd like to have our book to Christians where we know our loved ones in heaven, well, then you just ask for the Know Our Loved Ones in Heaven. And we send it on a free will offering basis. And if you don't have any money, we'll send it anyway. And you say, how can you afford to do that anyway? Well, do you make your own money? No, I'll tell you where we get our money. Somebody will write a letter, just sure as the world, and they'll say, I've got some money, that God's money. I want to give it to somebody that doesn't have money. We get letters from people in the retirement homes that don't have money. We get letters from prisoners that don't have money. But somebody else will pick it up. So now we're going to pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you that we can walk with you and talk with you. We thank you that you're the right great God Almighty of all things. And we pray that you'll minister to your people as they lean upon you. Help them to put all their weight on you. And especially those who accept you. Oh God, just bring them in by the multitudes. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have to close, but I want to tell you this. God loves you. God loves you so much he gave his son, Jesus. Jesus loves you so much he was crucified on the cross to pay for your sins. God loves you. Jesus loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. For over 40 years we've been telling you that. And I love you. I gave my whole life to that. All of my life preaching this wonderful message. And when I preach that message, there's always hope. There's no one hopeless. Everybody can come. But once you die, then the judgment, it's all done. Come today, pray today, and pray for us. And then we'll continue worshiping Jesus. There's so many that need to know the Lord. And we're reaching the whole world, 90% of the world. So pray that God will get through and many will come to Christ. God bless you. God bless you, everyone. And we love everyone. Amen.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, the weekly broadcast that brings good news to the lost and encouragement to the believer. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. Support our ministry by contacting us at the Christian Worship Hour, P.O. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or visit us online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Be sure to join next week for another life-changing message from Pastor Salem.